Hello, and welcome to another episode of Point to Point. It's the show where I drive from one point to another and try to get to the point, aka chatting in the slow lane. Although, honestly, it's a little bit clippier than normal today. It is December, which means that it is the time of everybody's got shit to do. But we're off to work this morning. Today's point, let's see here. Actually, I wrote up a review yesterday of one of my top games this year, kind of sneaking in right under the wire, came out in November, I think November 19th, and it is called Duskpunk. Go check out that review on the site if you'd like to hear about like the mechanical breakdown and kind of like the story aspects of it in very broad strokes. But I wanted to talk about it for a couple of minutes today because, you know, maybe reading's not your thing. Maybe you like to listen. And I will just say at the outset, this is one of my favorite games of the year. It's like actively fighting for position against a very similar game, actually, Citizen Sleeper 2, that came out at the beginning of the year in, I think, in January, like mid-January. And it is a, you know, the Citizen Sleeper-like experience, I would say. It is a, I guess, like a role-playing visual novel. I still haven't, like, come up with a good way to explain these games. They're like dice-rolling narrative games. Basically, you do a lot of reading, and then to do actions in the game, you roll a set of 2d6. And that determines whether you succeed or fail. And it's doing the thing that I think a lot of more modern dice rolling games, like role playing games, do, which is they have the basically the failure, half success, and full success model. And it's doing the thing where you fail forward, which I think is the mark of a really good game master when you're playing a game like this in meat space. But it does it really well, where like you'll have, you know, you'll take hits to your stress, you'll take hits to your health, you'll take hits to your energy. But even if you fail a countdown clock, like you know, something bad is going to happen, there's a little thing that pops up in your home base that says, hey, in like 7 turns, something bad is about to happen. So do what you can to mitigate that, like, you know, steal the draft list so they can't find out where you are, or, you know, something like that. But even when you fail, you know, you're like one turn too short on some of this stuff and you can't get that objective complete, the game doesn't game over. It has like contingencies for that and kind of makes the story feel authored in a way that I think is very unique to these kinds of games. Like, you know, there, as far as I can tell, there is not a game over screen. I have not seen it. You can get to probably like, you know, soft locking yourself, but there's not like an extreme game over. And I think that's kind of the thing that I love about this game the most, is how flexible the narrative is and how, like, honestly, how strong it is. The thing that really, I've been playing through Citizen Sleeper 2 again, just at the end of this year, waiting for the Steam Deck to come in. So I'm doing what I can with ye old Nintendo Switch Lite. So I got Citizen Sleeper on there. And I've been playing it around the same time as Duskpunk, which has an unexpected compare-contrast going on. And they're very different games. At least where I am in Citizen Sleeper 2 right now, which is a little bit further than, I think it's about as far as I made it last time, it is about people. Citizen Sleeper is very much a found family in a world that sucks, and you're just kind of hoping to piece it all together and find some peace and friendship and love in the middle of a world that is on fire. I guess maybe it does, but if I remember correctly from Citizen Sleeper 1, this game does not have ambitions of, you know, your character being the person who brings about great change. I guess we'll see. You know, I will eat my words later, I suppose. But Duskpunk does, And I think that that's kind of the thing that is, at least for me right now in, you know, December 1st, 2025, coming up on a year of Trump round two, is I kind of need a story about, a new kind of story about collective action and success in the face of great tyranny. And this game delivers on that. I think that that's kind of the beautiful part of it, is you start the game out as like a very, you know, a nobody veteran who accidentally made it back to the big city. And then you have to spend, you know, probably the first 2 hours just like trying to survive, like trying to make it to the next day. And by hour 10 or 11, you are just full blown a revolutionary captain in the socialist takeover of the nation. And that's not necessarily the path you have to take. There are, you know, you could ally yourself to the Lich Dealers, a kind of gang, or the Ossuary, who is an information broker who has ambitions for power. So you can kind of tie yourself to that. But the story that I chose for my engineer was, you know, working with all of these disparate groups to create a unified front against this like empire that is crushing the people for its, literally the theme of the game is that the empire is in a world war with the other big empire, such that they can have their sons and daughters go to their fronts and die in World War, like fantasy World War One, and then have their bodies shipped back to the main town to be turned into literal energy. It is quite explicit with its themes. And you get to you get to live out the fantasy, right? The fantasy of uniting the unions in this one town, and the fantasy of having a general strike, and the fantasy of overthrowing the like corrupt, you know, the corrupt gang dealers to let the dock workers unify themselves. And you get to go to the exciting like social club that is where all of the Marxist revolutionaries, the collaborists, go. And you get to do all of these things and embed yourself in this. And then towards the end of the game, which I think as you play it and you meet these disparate factions, it becomes quite clear this is where it's headed. But each one of them has their own reasons for wanting things to change in the city and in the country. And they begin to come together. Like, you get to see the choices and the connections and the, you know, the relationships you've made with the factions all come together in a way that is really satisfying. And, you know, heartbreaking in some ways. It is a really cool game that I really hope more people play, because it is doing the like Citizen Sleeper dice mechanic. Like, it has all of the hallmarks of that, of the, you know, the daily stress of like trying to figure out how this is going to work. It is constrained to 8 actions a day, 4 in the day and 4 in the evening, and different things happen at different points of the day. So it's like there's a lot of stuff going on in this game. There's a lot of management of your health, stress, and energy, and money. There's a whole solidarity mechanic, which I go pretty deep on in the review, and it's like, it's so nice. Like, it's such a cool concept of basically building up solidarity with all of the different groups. Like, the more that you interact with the factions, the more that you kind of create cohesion between the factions and within the factions, you gain this currency that you can spend called solidarity. And solidarity is used to basically pull off, it's kind of, I kind of mention it as a, what's the game? Dusk City Outlaws is a tabletop RPG that's like a, basically it's a heist game. And it has this really cool mechanic that I haven't seen really done anywhere else. It's a flashback mechanic. And basically the idea is that you're playing the game and all of a sudden an unforeseen thing comes up in the game that you're playing. And you can just at any point yell out flashback, and then you get to explain how 6 hours prior or whatever, you had already planned for this contingency. It's not anything you need to worry about. Everything's taken care of. You can move forward. And solidarity works kind of the same way. So you'll run into different skill checks that you need to do. And they are, like, especially towards the end of the game when you're, like, doing some revolution shit, the skill checks are all deadly, which means that if you get a failure or a mixed success on that roll, odds are, like, you will take a consequence, and it will be bad. And typically will not progress a clock, which means that you are no closer to your objective and you are also hurt from that thing, which makes the next roll more difficult, right? But what you can do sometimes is spend solidarity. So there's a part where the troops have deployed a machine gun turret on a protest, and you can either, you know, storm that machine gun nest with you and your pals, and you have to use your skirmish skill to do that. I did not have very good skirmish. I was an engineer. Which meant that, you know, it would take forever for that clock to wind down, and the odds were really high that I was going to take a lot of damage doing it. Or you spend solidarity. You spend 10 solidarity, and that says basically, like, your troops are trained for this. Like, you did this, you know, when you were working with the Collaborus and the War Dead and, you know, all these different people, you spent time training. And it's a nice way to pay off some of that solidarity. And it became this thing where throughout the game, I would hoard it because there's not a ton of options to really spend it early on in the game. But it meant that I had, like, a massive amount of solidarity in the beginning of the game, and, like, definitely by when shit really kicks off. And then that meant that I could just basically spend it. Like, I could just spend it like crazy. There's no reason to hold on to this anymore. Like, this is why it was here. Like, this is why you built the solidarity, was to make these things easier, because you did the work. And I think that is really neat. Like, it's a good way to show, like, thematically how a bunch of disparate groups can be greater than their parts. And you know, that's a theme that... It is a theme that means a lot right now. Like, especially as, you know, we've been seeing everything getting torn down and how difficult it is to really mount a resistance of any sort that feels like it's doing anything. It was a good reminder that it takes a lot of work, a lot of, you know, embedded community people doing things to make change happen. So it's a cool game. I really think that, like, it is a game that is necessary to play right now, but it is also just it's a good video game. It's really well written. The characters are awesome. I like the world. It is very much like steampunk by way of Dishonored, which is, if you know me, like, very much my shit. And it does the Citizen Sleeper thing, but I think in a different way. Like, it is very much in that same vein, but the dice mechanic is slightly different. The way that you manage your stress and stuff is different. And I think that the solidarity mechanic is, like, truly... It makes me think about the ending of Mass Effect 3 and, like, gathering all of your war assets and what a miss that was in retrospect, of, like, how good it could have been by this, you know, little indie game that's made by a handful of people. They, like, created this... It's good. Like, I don't know. I could, like, gush about this game for hours. But at the end of the day, go play Duskpunk, go meet my best friend Markov, go hang out with Henry, a fun character with some stuff going on. I think, like, top to bottom, Duskpunk is, like, highly a recommend for me, and you may see it in a top 10 list coming to you pretty soon. All right, that's going to do it for me. I got to go hop on this train. I have to watch the Predator anime for an upcoming Content Mill episode. So stay tuned for that, I guess. We'll catch you later. Have a good rest of your day, and bye.